Welcome to Setting the Standard. This is Amy Suzara, your Pinay poet on Setting the Standard on KPFA 94.1. Tonight in the studio, I'm very blessed and honored to have with me a wonderful artist who's had awards and recognitions that are too many to list, but most notably, she's been known for her solo works and plays and received many awards, including the Obie Award for Beauty's Daughter, a Drama Desk Award, the Helen Merrill Award, a Guggenheim, and she was nominated for the Pulitzer Prize for her amazing play, Yellow Man. Tonight I'm interviewing Dale Orlander Smith. Thank you so much for being on the show, Dale.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, it's an honor, and I was really excited to first become acquainted with you back in 2010 when you were a master artist at the Atlantic Center for the Arts, and then continue to see you actually do your thing on stage most recently at the Berkeley Rep with Black and Blue Boys, Broken Men.
Yeah, a hard piece, but I'm glad I got a chance to do it. I think it's a challenging piece, and it's worthwhile, yeah.
Definitely. And I think that, you know, from my perspective, definitely you gripped us from the very beginning throughout the end. So this piece, Black and Blue Boys, Broken Men, was co-commissioned by the Berkeley Rep and Goodman Theater.
Yeah, I just closed with the Goodman last week. October 28th was the last day.
All right. And how was that run over there?
The run was great. Again, because in both cases, because the subject matter is so dark, for a lot of people, I don't know whether there's going to be any life for it in New York. I mean, it just closed a week ago. The reviews on both ends have been good, but, you know, theater right now is pretty commercial, and not too many people are really taking chances on a certain kind of dark work, so we'll see what happens. But I'm writing new work, and I can't really dwell on it, you know.
So since we're talking about Black and Blue Boys, Broken Men, that recently had a run over there in Chicago, why don't you tell me a little bit about how it was been doing this show, and which is about five men that are participating in cycles of violence and all portrayed by you. And as I mentioned, that this show was just gripping from beginning to end. When you say that it was a dark kind of work, what does that mean for you?
Dark work is the stuff that we don't talk about. We don't talk about, say, about boys being abused. We're used to, for instance, and in terms of sexual abuse, and that people don't like to go into that arena. If we're used to seeing men as abusers, and particularly with sexual abuse, if it's, you know, they definitely are the perpetrators within people's mind's eye. So what I want to do is like blow that barrier, and also looking at, you know, women can also be perpetrators. We show that in the piece as well. I say we because I collaborated with Che Yu, who's a wonderful director and runs Victory Gardens in Chicago. So we want to be, you know, and it's of every race, you know, men from every race, every background, because we didn't want to narrow it because people have an eat fix and they think only like one group of people do this. And if the piece is also written where a woman or a man could do this, this could be multi-character, this could be single character. So what I want to do is break the barriers of in many ways.
Yes, and I think it's quite astounding that you portrayed all male characters in this play. And this is the first time that you've done several male characters all in one show?
Yeah, I played men before. Uh-huh. But in terms of making it an all-male show, this is the first time I've done this yet.
I'm struck by the fact that as audience members, we are allowed to bear witness to these stories. And I'm curious about what's your take on message and content in theater work. Do you feel
you said message?
Yeah, message. Like,
I don't give messages.
Okay,
That's the last thing on my mind. In terms of theater, beginning, middle, end, story, conflict, resolution. Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of times, particularly with American audiences, and I'm not saying this in an anti-American way because I am American, people are always looking for quote unquote positive role models or positive outlet. Mm-hmm. And I think often in terms of us, theater, poetry, whatever the genre is, the role of that stuff, any kind of art form, is to be a mental and emotional traveler. And you have to, sometimes there are certain times where you have to find that whatever kind of truth that applies to you, you have to do the homework yourself. You just can't expect somebody within an hour and a half to do that. And we have to, in theater, I hope what the play did was give people permissions to go to dark places where they normally wouldn't go.
Yes.
Because we have to, I mean, that's part of the human condition. That's the work that interests me, not just someone trying to, don't speak for me, speak to me, I'll get it.
In an interview with the Kentucky Educational Television, you offered that you began more as an actress who wrote sketches than a writer. And at the same time, I know that you had some of your early strides in some in the New Yorker Poets Cafe, and you toured internationally. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about this. What's the overlap between poetry and theater for you, and what are your choices in the genres?
I don't have any choices. I mean, to me, they're intertwined. I mean, there's certain things that you can say in poems that you can't say in theater, and sometimes I just want to mesh the two. Literally, it's what I hear on the ear, you know, and sometimes I'll take, for lack of a better term, something that's very poetic and put and try to incorporate that into everyday language, i.e. someone say like Tennessee Williams, you know. I mean, I'm not talking talent. I'm just talking acumen. And that's the thing that interests me, the fusion of language and how language within itself, and the juxtaposition as well, how it can, you know, bring us to a certain place. You know, I'm also, and I mess with, in terms of like certain kinds of language, I also try to make it sound as if like a guitar riff or maybe a sax solo. I mean, I want to mess, and that's the word I'm using indeed, mess with language in so many ways. And poetry does play a major role for me, because also in terms of like narrative, personal narrative poetry often sounds like a monologue. It is theatrical. It can be.
Did you find that it was a natural thing to cross over the boundaries then, because you felt that it wasn't, that the overlap was very clear for you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Enizaki Shange did it with Color Girls. Prior to her, you had someone like Eugene O'Neill. When you watch a piece like Long Day's Journey Into Night, it's there. And of course, Shakespeare did it.
I think that your work definitely speaks across those boundaries. And Backstage said that your poetical language flows hot and fast like lava, and that you have an ear for cadence language. And I would definitely agree. I hear the poetry in your language. And in some way, each character almost seems to be, for me as a poet, kind of a poet in themselves, in that they have a singular impression on us as an audience.
That's great. Thank you.
What's going on next for you, or what's sort of on your plate? I know you have so many things that you're involved with, and you said that you're working on a new piece.
Working on a new piece that I've been commissioned by the Taper to do. It's called Forever. And Forever is actually loosely based on documentary called Forever that takes place in Père Lachaise in France, in Paris. And that's a very famous cemetery where people like Richard Wright, Jim Morrison, Edith Piaf is buried. And what it is paying homage to those people who helped give us life, how art, you know, keeps us, and it sounds so pretentious, and it's not meaning to, how the way art, those dead folk, all, you know, pump life into us and give us a meaning. And those are the people that question through language, through song. Modigliani is buried there, through painting, that gives us a reason to go on. Mm. And the whole piece takes place in the cemetery where I visit these graves.
So are you in the process of, where are you in the process with this new piece?
It's very much so in the beginning. I was actually supposed to be in France right now, but couldn't go because of Hurricane Sandy. And that kind of like upset my thing altogether, because when I came back from Chicago last week, as I was coming across the bridge in a taxi, I literally saw the power go on, but there were so many flights that got canceled, and there was another mini storm, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm going to try to get to France early next month. But yeah, I'm very much so in the beginning of the piece, and I'm also going to like tie in. It's going to be written in the first person. Actually, it's autobiographical, which is quite scary because I've never done anything directly autobiographical.
Wow, that sounds very personal as well as.
It's very scary. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested in that. You kind of and knowing the work that you did with us over in the Atlantic Center, that I know that you're very much into pushing those edges, those personal edges, and as you say, the word dark, but I think that not being a negative term.
I don't think it is either. I mean, you know, you can't have dark without light. You mean, if it's theater, poetry, all that stuff is experiential, and you have to give yourself permission to go to those places and not judge. The hard thing, I think, is not to judge. You know, that's part of the reason why I say, you know, the Forever piece is that, you know, when I think about someone like a Jim Morrison, you know, when I think about someone, say, like a Richard Wright, who, you know, these people who dared to question and throw the work in the air. I mean, now it's not a big deal, but like, you know, say like when The Doors, well, specifically Jim Morrison wrote The End, and he has a part in it, Mother, I Want to F You. This is not saying that he's sanctioning incest, but, you know, there are certain little boys who have had, you know, crushes on their moms, you know, whatever it is. Is it forbidden? I don't know. By him putting it in the air, he made it less forbidden, if that makes any sense.
Yes, yes. I'm interested because many of the listeners are possibly writers themselves, and I think you have been a wonderful mentor in terms of bringing this kind of message across that I think as writers to take those kinds of risks is very important.
Totally.
So I think just to kind of...
I don't know whether I'm a mentor, though, because that's I really don't like those kind of titles, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope I can say something that helps someone, but to refer to me as a mentor, I don't have the right to do that. I really feel funny with those kind of things.
Hmm. Okay, so we won't call you that.
Yeah, call me that.
We'll just call you Dale or Lander.
Yes, call
Smith.
Me Dale. Just call me Dale.
So with that, for our listeners, what would you like to just kind of leave with emerging writers, playwrights, and poets?
Well, I think one of the a great poet actually who was born, today's November the 10th, right?
Yes.
Okay, who was born yesterday, 1928, was Anne Sexton. And Anne Sexton was asked, why do you write the way you write? And she goes, I have the right to invade my own privacy. Mm. And if there's any message I give to any writer or any poet, same thing, invade your own privacy.
Great, great line. I remember you had said that and it really resonated.
I wish I wrote it.
Well, yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us, Dale. And thank you so much for spending some time with me here on the radio show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And so we'll all keep an eye out for your next work, for anything that Dale or Landersmith is involved with. She's a powerful, powerful performer and writer.
Thank
and
you.
Definitely someone to keep an eye out for. Thank you so much, Dale.
Thanks, sweetie.
All right, take care. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
So once again, this is Amy Suzara, and we are on the Panay Poet on Setting the Standard here on 94.1 FM, KPFA.